when it comes to our relationship with God and how we think he should reveal himself to us. Naturally, we think of grand things, miraculous events, voices from heaven, you know, things that are beautiful and precious. And yesterday's gospel actually encourages that, because we have the parables of the buried treasure and the pearl of great price, symbols of the kingdom of heaven, something very precious, very beautiful. So it's true that our relationship with God is precious and beautiful, and his way of relating to us is precious and beautiful. But most of the time, his way of relating to us is in parables, meaning in very ordinary, simple ways. We don't usually perceive the treasure buried in the field. Usually we just see the field, just the dirt that we're digging around in or cultivating. Well, today's readings, I think, emphasize this simple or more ordinary side of the kingdom. Jesus gives us these two parables of the mustard seed and the yeast. Very simple, very ordinary, tiny symbols, which if he hadn't said this, we would never associate with the kingdom of God. Who would dare? Who would dare to say that the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed? It would be almost insulting to God. But God, who is the creator of all things, is not insulted by his own creation. It's beautiful. In the first reading, there's another very ordinary image, the loincloth. I looked up this loincloth because I said, what in the world is this? what is he talking about here? And apparently it's a garment that we don't have. Some Bibles call it a belt, some call it a sash, some call it a girdle, some call it a waistband, loincloth. So it's some kind of undergarment, that's all I can figure. But and who would ever have thought that our relationship with God is like someone's undergarment? It doesn't seem very flattering. But this is how the Lord often speaks. He speaks in ordinary terms, or he reveals himself in ordinary things, because he who made everything can use everything to communicate with. In this case, just to follow the loincloth story, this is what they call an object lesson, or what the educators would call a visual aid. So here's the loincloth. It's some kind of a linen garment. Jeremiah wears it like anybody else. I don't know the significance of putting it in water or not putting it in water. I'm sorry, I don't understand that part of it. But anyway, it was a normal, ordinary thing to wear a loincloth. Everybody wore them. But then he's told, put it in a cleft of a rock. Put it, hide it away in some out-of-the-way place, and then see what happens. Well, if you wait long enough, the thing will get rotten, and that's what happened. It got rotten. It was worth nothing. What's the lesson? If we're clinging to the Lord, we have our right place. We have a precious place close to the Lord, where we belong. And if we don't cling to the Lord, we get rotten. Good for nothing. That's what it says here. For as close as the loincloth clings to a man's loins, so had I made the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah cling to me. This is what we're made for, to cling to the Lord, to be close to him, to be in an intimate relationship with him, to depend on him, to be my people, my renown, my praise, my beauty. But they did not listen. And when we don't listen, what happens? We get rotten. Good for nothing. In fact, this is mentioned in today's collect. I'll just repeat it to you. We'll have it all week, 17th week. O God, protector of those who hope in you, without whom nothing has foundation, nothing is holy. So without God, we have nothing. We have nothing precious. That nothingness is, I think, part of the lesson of the loincloth. Either we're fulfilling the mission the Lord has given us, which might strike us as a humble role or an insignificant role or a hidden role. I think that's probably more the loincloth is hidden under the outer garments, or we're not good for anything. So that's the revelation that the Lord gives to Jeremiah. Let's go back to these more familiar parables of the mustard seed and the yeast. Now the mustard seed, the central point of it is the smallness of it should not deceive us into thinking that it's insignificant. And this is very important in the spiritual life, because the Lord works in small things. He starts small. Even the physicists or the astrophysicists talk about this nowadays. They say that the Big Bang started out very, very small. I don't understand how that can be, but they say it was whatever was a very, very tiny something that exploded into extraordinary power. Well, okay, that's how God works. He starts with something very small, and because he has divine power, he can bring forth extraordinary fruit. Our task is not to make something bigger than it is. Our task is to accept how God works, to accept the smallness, let the seed be planted, and let God's work progress. Very often we want to start big. We want something that's impressive. And if something's small, we think it's of no value at all. That's a big mistake in the spiritual life. Smallness, hiddenness, these are our daily journey. What does our daily prayer time look like? Well, we spend a few minutes or an hour or a half hour or whatever. Nobody knows what we're doing. We're hidden away in our own room or maybe in a little chapel reading the scriptures or pondering the mysteries. Nobody knows what we're doing and nobody knows the value of it. And we ourselves may think, oh, I didn't get anything out of that. That seed seems pretty insignificant. Or I've read this scripture 100 times and I don't get anything out of it. It seems like a seed that's too small to pay attention to. No. Don't be deceived by the smallness of the seed, or by the smallness with which God begins great things. And don't be impatient for the seed to bear much fruit. It takes time. Much of the fruit of the spiritual life we will not even see in this life. So don't get impatient with the Lord and with yourselves. When we get to the other side, we'll realize, oh, this thing which I neglected, which I thought was insignificant, was actually of much greater value than the things I thought were so important. Same is true with the yeast. Yeast, can't see it. You don't know it's there. You can only recognize its effect. So once we see the batch of dough or the bread rising, we realize, oh, there's yeast going on there. There's something yeast. Well, yeast is bacteria. It's very small microorganisms. But in the right environment, with the right foods, it multiplies. It multiplies rather rapidly, and it has influence over the whole batch of dough. That's what a Christian is. That's what the church is in the world. That's what we are. We're yeast. We're children of God. We might look insignificant, we might look small, we might look weak, and we are weak and we are small, but we're also precious and powerful because God has chosen us to be his instruments in the world. We should not be too preoccupied with making sure people are impressed by us or think that we're effective. Even if they do think that, it doesn't make any difference. The question is God's will being done by us? Can God build his kingdom through us, even if it looks insignificant? It says here that the Lord spoke to the people only in parables. Now, we know that he didn't speak only in parables, but that's what it says here. Meaning, a lot of times, what God is doing is he's speaking in these symbolic, simple ways that are packed with meaning, but we don't usually see or understand what's going on. So we have to trust. Trust that each seed has this potential for great growth, that every little hidden act of charity or sacrifice is like yeast in the world that desperately needs the influence of the Word of God. We have to accept our humble place as the loincloth of the Lord and cling to Him, be willing to take on our proper role, because if we do that, then we are precious. And if we don't, we're rotten. The contrast is very, very striking. We either have dignity, in fact, we have divine dignity, or we're rotten, good for nothing. So let us, with the power of the Word planted in our hearts, let us allow Him to transform us for His glory and for the good of His people.